Hello everyone, welcome to the Business Talk podcast. I am your host Deepak, and today we have the privilege of hosting Professor Varsha Jain, a renowned global research scholar and distinguished professor of marketing at Mica, India. In this episode, Professor Jain will dwell into her recent publication, The Future of Purpose-Driven Branding, Signature Programs that Impact and Inspire Both Business and Society. Professor Jain, a very warm welcome to this podcast episode. It's an honor to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you this time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. So, ma'am, what inspired you and Professor David Akar to write The Future of Purpose-Driven Branding?
Thank you so much for having me and inviting me. It's really a pleasure to be here. And hello, everyone. So, basically, for purpose-driven branding, when we started off this discussion, we realized that there's a lot of paradigm shifts, and I'm going to synthesize everything that I'm going to do and what I'm doing in marketing, because there are a lot of shifts as consumers. Also, we have realized what we were before COVID and during COVID and after COVID, we keep changing. So the point is, if the consumers keep changing, the consumption pattern keeps changing. I don't think we were discussing so much about AI and social robots as we are discussing it now. So with those changes and the paradigm shifts which are happening every day across the AI world that we live in, there were a lot of changes that were happening in marketing. And we realized that if the consumers are changing, if the technologies are changing, if the ecosystems are changing, then definitely the branding has to change. So with those changes, what has happened apparently is that there are a lot of changes in terms of persona-driven, you know, advertising, branding, which has happened, contextual. So for instance, if I ask any one of you now that, you know, what you would prefer today, like, you know, on a weekday in the morning in terms of your beverage, probably your preference would be different from what I will ask you the same question on a weekend. So the whole point is, as an individual also, our preferences, our likings keep changing, right? Because what time of the day it is, with whom you, and everything is aligned with whatever context we operate in. So it's a dynamic world, in short, right? It's very agile. A lifestyle keeps changing, right? All these changes which were evident in terms of our perspectives, even to look at stimulus, which are very important in branding. And stimulus is not something which can evoke only through campaigns. Stimulus could be you look at someone, you shop, and then you get inspired. And everybody is on Instagram now. And people get inspired not only by celebrities, but also people around us, you know. So the whole point was that how do we tap into all these dynamic changes and then lead to an impact that the businesses have to create, not only on the consumers, but also in society. So the whole point of purpose-driven branding is not only to talk about, you know, top lines and the bottom lines, but also to discuss and understand, because business is part of society. And when society is in pain, it's the responsibility of the businesses to eradicate or prevent or maybe minimize those pains. And that is how this purpose-driven branding, the whole concept is all about. How do you, as a business firm, no matter where you are, in which part of geography, US, UK, France, you know, India, any part of the world, but how do you deal with those issues that people are facing? How do you help the society and create those impact through your brands? So this is a larger level, you know, objective with which we started with this purpose-driven branding. And I'm really happy to discuss this because this is the whole idea. The whole world is talking about, you know, creating impact. As editors also, we talk about impact. It's not a mere resource that you want to put in into marketing. Marketing is not about materialism anymore. Marketing is to create real impact on society, help people. So with all that changes, transformations happening around us, and having a real impact on the consumers, people's life enhanced further. With that orientation, we started this book on purpose-driven branding.
Very nice. What motivates you personally to focus on purpose-driven branding in your research and your professional work?
Sure. I think this is connected question, and thank you for asking this, because as I mentioned earlier, that it's all not only about a mere publication that you care one more, or you know, it's all about how do you create impact? How do you help people? You know, so it motivates me every day, every moment, because to be very honest, as a scholar, as an editor, as a writer, as a faculty, we always feel that we want to create certain impacts, not only through our writings and publications, obviously that are important, but how do you create the real impact on the society? And that is exactly what we are doing across all the range of products and the projects that we are dealing with, which means that when we are working with American Marketing Association, talking about how to create impact. So now the focus, the group that I have joined there, AMA, is all about sustainability. So how the brands could become sustainable and create those impact, not only in their businesses, but also in terms of offering. And I'm using this word offering because it's no more about the products, it's about offering. How do you understand the needs of the people, expectations that keeps on changing, and then create an impact? So the whole point is every project, every movement that I live in this country as well as in the world is all about creating an impact. And that is through purpose-driven branding. What is the purpose? What is the meaningful narrative? What is the meaningful content that you're producing, which is not only for a mere publication or a class or for students, but a larger community as a whole, which is affecting the businesses. As I said earlier, it's not only about, you know, MNCs, it's not only about the mid-sized companies, but also small businesses. I mean, like India, they operate through understanding what people's needs are and then deliver those services. So everything that we do, we publish, we do consulting all over the world. It's all about, you know, how do you create an impact on the society and help people to live a better life? So that's how it works. Yeah.
So if we go a detailed view, if we, you know, see a detailed view about your book, can you give us a brief overview of the key themes and concepts in your book?
Sure. So the book is all about four-step process. It's pretty simple. One is wherever you operate in, whichever market you are in, whether you are in US, UK, India, China, anywhere, any part of the world, first is you need to understand the context. This is very important because, as I said, same individual will have different contexts. The preference of beverages, food, everything changes, like accessories, fashion could change as I talk about, you know, weekend, with whom you are as a companion, if you're going, or occasion, for instance, in India, people talk about wedding. So the way you dress up in a wedding is very different from the way you dress up for your office, for instance. So everything is very contextual. So the first point is you have to understand the context under which you are operating. Second point is that what is the social program which you can offer to the people? So that comes from identification of the problem. So, you know, a lot of places, including a lot of IIMs within in India, when we discuss about purpose-driven branding, they always say that, is that important to focus on everything that is around us? Because there are so many issues and problems in the society. And I always say that, no, you need to link it back to your business. For instance, when Dove says that I want to transform the entire orientation about beauty, then in that case, the stereotypical thinking about women and beauty has to be eradicated from the society, which takes a while because it is rooted in the system of culture, but they are trying to beauty standards. Right. So that's the whole idea, that you pick up our issue, which is connected to your business, and then integrate. So that's the third step. So you understand the context, you build a program where there is a need, integrate with the entire business model. And then the fourth step is you need to execute it with a meaningful narrative and build a strong brand with the stories. And the stories is not about I am great as a brand. Story is all about how I have helped the people to grow. So when I spoke about Dove, Dove's all entire orientation is, you know, to understand, like, you know, how women are going through those beauty standards and how they can break stereotypical thinking in a society like India by 296%. If they can break those mindsets, I think that is where their whole orientation is all about. So the point is, this four-step process is actually going to in the world to understand what is going through in the market, what are the issues, how do I address, how I link it back to the business models, and then scale up through the entire community and people that includes consumers and employees. So the whole point is you grow the system, you actually ensure that people are connected to what you are offering them, and it is enhancement of their life. That's the whole book all about.
Very insightful, Professor Jain. My next question is about, you know, how do you define purpose-driven branding, and why is it becoming very, you know, increasingly important in today's businesses?
Correct. I think this is very important question because a lot of people come and ask us that, how do you define? And then we always say that the first thing is that you need to attack the societal challenges which are there, where people are facing issues. Once you have the challenge in front of you, you develop a signature program around it. I'll give you an example around the communities and the brands around that. So for instance, another example that we have in the book is about, you know, Lifebuoy. Lifebuoy is a brand everybody knows across the generation in India. So Lifebuoy actually came up with a campaign which says that, you know, save the life of child and kids below 5 years, which means that, again, back it up with the data, which says that there are a lot of kids who are not been given nutrition on time. So that is where this issue arises. And the brand actually is developing signature programs. Now, the whole paradigm of branding is not around Lifebuoy. Understand this. This is how the branding has changed. It is about the social program which they have developed in order to save those kids. So how do I help these people so that they take enough nutrition to get survive in the world? We all know when small babies, you know, they actually struggle to be part of the world because their immune system is not strong enough. So the whole point is the social program is around that particular social, the community connect happens. So the purpose-driven branding is all about understanding those challenges, building the solutions around it, and offering those solutions while building the brand. So it's a very subtle way of Lifebuoy coming in, but there's a larger impact. I mean, there are several brands in India where we can discuss about Tatas, Birlas, Ambanis, Adanis. Everybody is actually working to the enhancement and creating an impact on the communities by solving the problem. That's all about purpose-driven branding.
Can you share some examples of purpose-driven branding programs that, you know, have significantly impacted both business performance and social as a well-being?
Sure. I think I gave a few examples. I'll give more examples. So one of the examples, obviously, Tata as a brand, when we talk about Tata itself, it gives us that credibility, that kind of, you know, trust that we all have, at least in a country like India now, also outside, where our community. So I'll come with that example, and that's part of my book as well, which talks about, you know, Tata Tea. Tata Tea actually served a partnership with, you know, Rare Planet, where they actually connected with a lot of artisans across the country, where we all know that in a country like India, it has got subcultures, right? Every state has got their subcultures, and there are a lot of nice artisans that actually reflect those cultures while painting or, you know, illustrating what their state belongs to. So, but the sad part is all these art and artisans are going away from the market. So what they have done is they have actually provided a platform to all these artisans to say that, okay, well, connect with Adati, and then probably will provide you a platform where you can reflect your arts, which is a kind of a cooler, which is made, you know, by different people in India, and you can make the artwork. And that is how the whole idea of purpose-driven branding works. So it's not about you fading away as a community, I don't care, but as a business, you actually care for those people, provide them opportunities to grow and reflect their artwork so that people feel proud of what they are, not only about the Indian culture, but the subcultures. So I think that are different examples that we have given in the book. So another example I'll give you is about, you know, Neiman shoes. They actually make the shoes through plastic, which is again going back to the sustainability aspect. So how do you say that, okay, if you want to be a sustainable, purpose-driven brand, then how do I take care of the environment? So there are a lot of examples across, as I said, across all the industries that we have given in the book, not only about MNCs, but also about small businesses, mid-sized businesses. And I think everybody in the world has to abide by to have impact on the society. So that's where it is in terms of the examples.
What are the essential steps in developing a signature program that aligns with a brand's purpose?
Correct. I think this is very important. Again, the question, thank you for asking this. It is about, first is you need to have inspiration. In terms of the branding social program, you need to inspire the community, which I spoke about Lifebuoy, which I spoke about Tata Tea. Then another example could be, you know, you have inspiration, for instance, about PNG, Siksha, this is education again, girl child. And they want to invest a lot on the girl child. The whole idea is, and we all know, if the girl child is educated in the country, then it not only affects the family, but it affects the entire community, nation, as well as the world, because it is all connected not only through her family, but also the community where they live. So you need to raise coming from the issues that you're addressing, then you develop the communities around that, which actually talk about it. Another example, you know, is very important, which is coming from HDFC Bank, does that, you know, lot of issues which are being addressed by the bank as well. So that is something which, again, developing the communities, talking about it, and then scaling it up. So because you are into business, you need to scale up whatever you're talking about. But scaling up and measurements is not about the core brand. It's about the social program that you develop around the brand in order to address the problem. So it's a little different from the old traditional kind of branding, because I was also trained traditionally and I had to learn, relearn, and unlearn a lot of new things which are happening. And I think this is the way the entire world is heading in terms of purpose-driven branding. And how, what is the sole purpose of the brand? Sole purpose of the brand is not there to make the top line and the bottom line of that. But if you just focus on numbers, you're not hitting the numbers. You have to focus on the core essence of the market and then solve the problem. So I think that is where the whole paradigm shift of branding has changed. So as I said earlier, it's not about I am great, but people have to say that you are great. And people means employees and customers. And they would say that you are a great brand, like we say about Tata's, because the brand Tata has worked so much for them. So that's how it works.
Professor, what are some of the common challenges companies face when implementing purpose-driven branding programs? And how can they overcome them?
Correct. I think this is very important question, and many a times we are discussing about it because it's very nice to talk about it, but when you actually execute, there are a lot of issues. So issue number one, as we all know, that is about resistance to change. Anybody that is into, it's a human psychology, you don't want to change because it's a lot of effort and energy which a person has to imbibe in their own system to make a change. So that's the first issue that always happens. Second is about the systems, because systems, as I said, if it's a paradigm shift of branding, that means the whole orientation, mission, vision, purpose of the business, everything gets changed. Because branding, what I'm discussing, is not about you have an offering or you're ready with some sort of service that you want to provide, and then you come and think about branding. Purpose-driven branding starts from the business idea. What is the business idea? What is your mission, vision? So everything gets changed in the system, right? And then the measurements are completely different. What I spoke about, top line and bottom line, that's not my measurement then. So the whole point is, how do I fix it? So I will fix it basically by educating people, starting from the board, then to the employees, and then the employees to the consumers. So complete is needed in terms of understanding the businesses. Why are you into business? What motivates you to be in the business? And then the business purpose is related with the brand purpose. That's how it works. Because if it's not about, I'm serving the community to help them to understand what. It's not about product offering. It's not about the service that you offer, but it's about making them understand that this might be good for you. For instance, Merck started with a new model now. It says that when you drive, there is no emission as such which will be there in the environment. Now, that is something great. That means you don't have the guilt to say that, well, I'm driving, but I am not disrupting the environment. So the whole business model changes, right? And I think, we are in a stage with AI-driven world that you have to be very agile. And I think a lot of businesses have proven that during COVID, that in spite of having business model, including just like Dabur, where they actually started with their turmeric drops and Tulsi drops, which they never thought that they're going to come up with those type of product offering. But that was the need of the market during that time to increase the immunity. So the whole point is that resistance to change is always there, but this can be eradicated when you are actually educating people at all the levels, including your own people in the business as well as people outside the business. And the key ambassadors of the business, the transformations that you do, are your employees, because they become the advocates of your business that, yes, this is the brand that, stands for credibility and trust, which we see in Tata's, Mahindra's, and a lot of brands around us, including Reliance.
What was it like, collaborating with Professor David Akar on this book? And how did your perspective and expertise complement each other?
Yeah, this is very interesting question because this is like slightly personal story, and I'm still a student. But actually, when I was doing my MBA, I was referring to a lot of marketing and branding books, and I never used to connect because I never been to the US during that time, 20 years ago. And I could not connect. I could understand the concepts, but the context which I was explaining, right? That context was very different. Like Whole Foods, I was like, okay, how Whole Foods is different from Walmart? If you ask me now, then I can tell you that, okay, how Target is different and all these brands operate, because I've been there and I visit US every year. I spend a lot of time there with my co-authors. But during that time, I had no clue. Then I used to refer it back with the Indian brands because the context was very different. So the whole point why I'm discussing that is this was the first curiosity that came in my mind that why can't we have something which is contextual? And contextual, which means that some examples that can be given to different various markets in the world, in the Asian markets, so that we are able to connect, right? So otherwise, the readers find it very difficult who've never been to those markets. So when I was reading that as a student, 20 years ago, I used to feel that there should be someone. And then I realized after a while, why you need someone? Why can't I do it? And that was the spirit with which I started my curiosity of teaching, researching, building the content, and then providing those content to various markets in the world. So that was the first thing. Second is that David Tucker, of course, including me as a student, I got trained in branding with his books. So that was the second part of it. Third is that when I was doing and growing the field of marketing, because we are at a stage as editors, as writers, as scholars, we need to extend the marketing discipline, right? We have to make it more inclusive and we have to expand at all the levels. When I was doing that and I was feeling that there are a lot of work. So I connected back to marketing strategy. And that's how I always say that don't work in silos. It's all integrated because business issue is not about silos. It's about offering solutions with what synthesis you can make with the knowledge. So that was the third thing because I can feel that there are a lot of transformations which are happening. The fourth part is that while I was doing a lot of work with Professor Sheth at Emory and writing on the books and papers with them, we could see that a lot of transformations happening in the marketing discipline. And with all that, when David came and discussed with me that this is the whole idea, Varsha, and this is extensively for the Indian market where you can actually significantly contribute and make it more like an Indian version, not only the version, but it's like the narrative has to be for India, and it has to be made for India, which we always talk about in our nation. So that excited me a lot because he already has established concepts, but the context was missing. All the examples which I gave about Tata's, Lifebuoy, all those things were added up. Five insights were added from all the work that we have been doing. And I really like the concept at which he came in and said that this is what I want to offer to your market. And I'm like, wow, why can't, when he is offering something to India, it's my first responsibility as a marketing scholar, as an editor, to offer it back to my own nation. So with which all these insights, which I said, the five pointers that align together. And it's a seamless process because every moment is a learning moment in marketing. And that's the beauty of it because I cannot work in a static environment. I tried my level best, but I cannot. So I am a person who always like dynamism. Why? Because as researcher, we need variance to understand what is happening, and then we offer it back as solutions. So the whole idea was the concept was really nice. The entire argument which is there in the book is really good. And then I can offer my insights with whatever work I've been doing to my own nation so that the branding subjects which are being taught, which we work at all the levels, and I think it's growing exponentially. Now we'll have Tesla very soon in our country. So the whole point is that it's the need at which we stand right now. And I think India can do a significant impact on the society because it is inherent part of our culture. It's not, we're not self-centered individuals. We always think about others. We always think about society. We always think about community. What was missing was, again, going back that how the branding can do that, because branding was always considered while the product is developed and then it should be branded. So I wanted to change that paradigm shift with him and offer something to my own nation, which the nation is already doing since a long time. But then it has to have certain steps and strategies so that it can be done and executed in a more professional way.
A very excellent Professor Jain. So my next question is about, you know, key learnings from working with Professor Ecker and the content which you have just recently, you know, efficiently addressed this concept. So I will now, you know, come to the next question. Like you just recently said, Tesla is planning to come in India. So what role do you see technology playing in the development and implementation of purpose-driven branding initiatives?
Correct. I think this is a very important question. And with the Gen Zs and Gen Y of the world, where we talk about technology and AI-driven content, the whole point is that people say that you talk about society and community, but what is the role of AI in it? Now, AI can actually help you to understand that, you know, what is the key issue going on into different markets. Right. So you can actually use, I always feel that as social scientists, we should use technology and technology in the right way, because it has to be driven by human. And AI can actually help you to understand that, okay, what are the different issues? You don't have to visit any particular country like Vietnam or China or any part of the world for that matter to understand what is happening. You can actually use the technology while sitting in a country like India, what is their need, and then offer it. For instance, there is a SK2 brand which actually worked on something which is related to Chinese market and their culture. So anybody who doesn't get married after an age of 30 years has been tagged as leftover women. Now, that's very sad. As a woman, I feel very painful while even talking about it. But then, you know, how can I eradicate or maybe minimize that particular issue? You don't have to go to Shanghai and understand all that. You can use AI and understand what is happening in those markets. And then SK2 actually built upon that particular whole idea, and they offered the solution, which is they educated not only the women, but also the men and their parents, where there were all matrimonials, all the pictures listed about the boys with their materialism and their materialistic kind of output, which were flipped to women pictures and their accomplishment. So the whole point was they were educating even the parents, and they got tears in their eyes because they never realized that how efficient their daughters were. So the whole market changed. And from, you know, leftover women, they are empowered women. And when a brand does this type of transformation, and the listing is all about the faces of the women, it's not about SK2, it's about their stories, their narratives, their meanings, and how you make those transformations. So the point I'm making is, with this example, is you can use AI to fix all these issues. I always say technology has dual sides, but why you have to work on the negative aspects, always focus on the positive aspect of AI. Use it and have a control on yourself. It can give you offerings, it can give you solutions. Then you decide as a human, as a marketer, which will do well. Similarly, augmented reality can be used in order to understand the enhancement of the social programs which you want to offer to a certain set of markets. Because everybody who is not able to, you know, satisfy, this was backed up with my other studies, where, you know, we found that people who do not, are not able to satisfy their social needs, they actually go on online and also metaverse to satisfy their social needs, their esteem needs. So that is a huge market. I mean, people who cannot afford luxury brands, they can actually buy it in $5. So what is important is my social kind of an image that I create on Metaverse. So now with technology, can I help them? Can I enhance their lifestyle? And at the end of the day, I always say that as marketers, can you make them happy? Simple. Nobody is happy. It's so much stressful environment under which every individual in this world is living for some or the other thing. How can you ensure that they are happy? Just use the technology and do it. And you can use hyper-personalization solutions in order to provide them optimum solutions. And that is through, you don't have to do clustering like what we used to do earlier about demography and psychography and lifestyle. It's all behavioral. Use AI, do a hyper-personalized segmentation, use your social programs for purpose-driven branding, help them and be a friend as a brand and sort out their issues. Believe me, it will be a different transformations in the markets. So that's the use of technology.
Yeah, thank you, Professor. What advice would you give to marketers and brand managers who are just starting their journey into purpose-driven branding?
Correct. So I think what is important for the marketeers is that they need to have certain inspiration which they can create through branding programs. As I said, that they need to figure out that what they could offer, link it back to their business core competence, and then say that here is what we could offer. And the second is, how do you create an impact on the communities and the society while using the technology as well, and then ensuring that proper narratives are being used. And narratives are not about the brands, as I always say. Narratives is about the community that they create, the kind of help they want to provide to the people. And there are internal stakeholders and external stakeholders, and they all link together in the ecosystem in order to co-create something for the betterment of the society. I think that is a larger level thought processes and philosophies with which we have to work. And I keep saying this to the students in India and outside, wherever I go, in the US as well. So it's all about how do you make a transformation in an individual's life in order to ensure that there is some enhancement in his or her life. That's the whole point. Because if you start thinking about the community, about the people around you, straight away your entire reverse engineering will be very different. But if you say, here is what I would offer you, that doesn't work because they are not interested in what you have. That's where the intrusions happen. That's where the issues happen in terms of what you're offering doesn't make sense to them because it's pretty contextual, as I said. And we keep changing. As we keep changing, we need a lot of changes in product offerings. So what makes sense now may not make sense after 2 years, 2 hours maybe, because it's so dynamic world.
If listeners take away only one key message from your book and our conversations today, what would you want it to be?
Yeah, so this is very important that I spoke a lot about everything. So one key message is, first, identify the issues that are there, as I kept saying. And then the second is, how do you solve those issues as a business propositions and the models and create an impact? And if you say only one message, I would say be agile and be people oriented. While you're using the technology, you cannot just foresee what is happening and, just say that we are, but you need to go deeper into the markets and understand what are their cultural issues, subcultural issues, what are they going through, what is their lifestyle, what are the hassles which they are facing. We talk about frictionless, seamless experiences in marketing. Now, frictionless, seamless experiences can only be created when you know the frictions. So if you don't know the frictions, you can't eradicate the frictions. So you need to go deeper into the life of people to understand that what they are going through in every market, and then pick up those one or two issues that aligns with what you are offering, and then do a reverse process to ensure that there are no frictions. I give this example to everybody, and this is a seamless example of Disney. So when people go to Disney, the first pain point is that you don't want to stand in the queue, you don't have to wait, right? You want to have seamless experiences. So what they have done is all those pain points, They actually worked upon it, and they just give you a pan. People have gone to Disney, they would agree. They just tap off of a pan, and then you take a ride. And it's so seamless that you don't have to do anything because once you go in the front end, you just pay the payments. You know that when your rides are, at what time. Of course, you have to reach on time to ensure that you get the ride. And then you are just in with a proper seamless experience. You don't have to do anything, literally. You just need to have a band, tap it, and then use the services. So the whole point is, and I keep giving this example because the whole business system has to understand that what are the issues that people are facing, and then probably go back and solve it through technology. This is a perfect example of CRM. Now, every department in the business need to be aligned together in order to understand what people have spoken at the front desk when they enter Disney in their hotels and resorts, and how that entire data can be transferred to the other department so that the issues that consumer face that, oh, I have no idea what you're talking about because you might have spoken to us. And consumers are like, I don't care. I just spoke to somewhere in your company. Can you just link it back? And there are no linkages. And I'm sure there are a lot of issues that happens because of this poor communication that happens within the companies. So I think that has been taken care of. So the whole point is that use technology in order to provide those seamless experiences and create moments because everybody wants to live with the moment. So the whole point is that if the marketers are able to create more moments like this with the help of technology, with solving the problem, understanding the issues, I think the entire world will be better. And that's what we discuss in marketing, that how can we have a better world in marketing, and what do we do in order to ensure that there is a better world with different type of people, but better people, better lifestyle, better institutions, where we are discussing not only about the business, but we are also creating impact on the societies and the communities and underprivileged kids as well. And whole paradigm has to change. And the one small instance is all here, mindset. Nothing else. The first thing which I always tell to my students also is change the mindset. If you change the mindset, everything fall in proper place. But if you are pretty rigid with your mindset, no, this is not going to happen, nothing happens then, believe me. Because if you're not agile in your thought processes, you cannot be agile in marketing campaigns and programs. So the only message I always give to my students, industry, communities all over the world is just change your mindset and be agile, because we are in AI world. We don't want bots to come in and dictate us that, okay, well, do this and do that. We need to command the bots. So in order to do that, you have to be agile enough, adaptive enough with the technology so that we can live a proper life. So that's what I feel is very important in terms of growth and the communities to understand better.
Thank you, Professor. It's always a pleasure to listening to you and having a conversation with you. It's a fantastic content you have delivered today, and I think the crux of it, the entire purpose-driven branding is now to the execution part. So starting from thinking, developing a mindset, and doing the practices, and it comes to the execution part. So thank you very much for joining here with us today, and it will be a very pleasure to host you today, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.